to the way things are in the world. And this is highlighted in many places in the gospel. But the kingdom of heaven functions opposite of the way the world functions in so many ways. And that truth is illustrated right here in verse 8. And again, I'm not smart enough to even notice things like that, but studying it out, the fact is the typical Jewish procedure or custom in paying their laborers at the end of the day, and we studied that the last time we were together, by the way, is that God says pay them their pay every day at the end of the day. Remember why? Because these guys didn't have jobs. They were day laborers. They depended upon that amount of money every afternoon that they worked for to provide for their families the following day, and then hopefully they'd find work again. And so we studied that. But the typical Jewish procedure, custom for paying laborers at the end of the day, was to start with those that were hired first and then work your way down to those that had been hired last. And so in this case, if it was typical, he would have went to those guys that started at 6 a.m., paid them, then the ones at 9 a.m., noon, all the way down to the ones that came in the 11th hour. But this guy did just the opposite of what Jewish custom was. It says there, he says, pay them, give them their hire beginning from the last unto the first. You see, that wasn't common practice. But let's back up, and I want you to look at the very last verse of chapter 19. Jesus said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He said that just before going into this parable. And so there again, though this is not the primary point of the parable, the master's backward actions, if you will, do illustrate the point that things are different in the kingdom. The first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. And so we move to verse 9, and those who had only worked an hour were the ones asked to come and receive their pay first, and they received a penny. Now, the Bible doesn't state it, but it's very much implied that the next three groups that came in were also paid a penny. Okay, it doesn't say it specifically, but there's little doubt. It's very much implied. And so he gets the first four groups paid off for a penny for each of their various times they worked. Some had worked three, some had worked six, some had worked nine, some had only worked 1 hour. But remember, when he made the deal with those four groups, he says, go and work in my vineyard and I'll give you whatever's fair. Remember? He never said anything specific to them. He said, I'll just give you what's fair. So they went and worked the various amount of hours, and he did in fact give them a penny, which was very fair. In fact, it was quite generous for each one of those amounts of time. And verse 10, I want you to notice what takes place. But when the first came, these are the guys that started at 6 in the morning and worked a full 12 hours. They supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise, every man, received a penny. Now, you can imagine at this point, after seeing these other four groups get paid a penny, they probably were elated, thinking, wow, they got paid a penny. We're going in here at 12 hours. What are we going to get? We're going to get 12 pennies because some of those guys got a penny for 1 hour's work. They were excited after seeing that the other groups had been paid so generously. They thought they were surely going to receive even more, but they received the same penny that the other groups did, okay, the exact amount. And but remember, what had they agreed on earlier? Go back to verse 2, that first group at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m., and he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, and he sent them into their vineyard. That was their verbal contract, if you will. And they seemed to be satisfied with that, right? Going in, they were glad to get the job. They went to the vineyard without hesitation. Let's look at verse 11. And when they had received their penny, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. You know what essentially they're saying? This is not fair. These other guys only worked an hour at the end of the day, and we worked all day long through the sweltering heat, and they get paid just as much as we do. Now, their assessment of things was really entirely accurate. That is the way it happened. And the owner couldn't argue with that. That's the way he did it. But notice verse 13. But when he answered one of them, he said, watch this. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Notice the kindness and the courtesy that he possesses towards these people. He don't have to be this way. But remember, he's a picture of God, right? And he calls him friend. In the Greek, the intimation of that word is be companion, someone you really were close to, okay? So he gets, it's really of a term of endearment to them. But then he goes on and points out firmly that they were having a wrong approach to the situation, making it clear to them that, hey, I haven't wronged you in any way. They had both lived up to their side of the bargain. He said he'd pay them a penny. They said they'd work a full day. They did it, and it should be, there was really no room for complaint. So let's move to verse 14. He tells them, take that is thine. In other words, take what I've given you, and go thy way, for I'll give unto the last even as unto thee. Say, I'm not changing a thing. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So obviously, the landowner doesn't have to explain himself, so he really doesn't, other than pointing out that, hey, it's my prerogative to do what I want as I choose with what's mine, okay? As long as I have done to you what I agreed I would do, then the rest of this is my prerogative. And then he asked the question rhetorically, isn't it lawful? In other words, isn't that right? I mean, am I entitled to that? I mean, I'm really, really... It's up to me what I do with my resources, okay? And then he asked another rhetorical question. He says, is your eye evil because I am good? And in other words, are you going to wrongly get angry just because I've done something generous for someone else? That's essentially what he's saying. Because I've done a good deed to others, you're going to get upset. And he makes a very good point here. Obviously, he's the Lord. He always makes good points. But the problem doesn't lie with him having done anything wrong. The problem lies with them having trouble accepting the kindness and generosity of this man towards others when there wasn't any particular additional generosity added to them. You see what I'm saying? Only thinking of themselves. He was thinking of everybody. He paid them well, what they agreed on, and then happened to pay the rest of the group well for what was fair, okay? But they're only thinking about themselves. And so it's not about him being unjust. It's really about them being selfish and jealous. But all of this is just all of these factors are just a small part of the greater picture. Remember, the purpose of the parable is to express spiritual truths, okay? Each parable, that's what their purpose was. And those truths in this particular parable are specific to the kingdom of heaven, okay? Verse 1 says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then it goes on with the parable. So what can we learn about this parable? Very, very vividly depicts God's sovereign plan for salvation is that every single person who comes to him by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is afforded the same full, complete, gracious redemption as any others who come to him. Without exception, without variation, everybody's the same. Whether a person comes as a child, calls upon the Lord and then lives their entire life serving the Lord, or whether that person calls upon him on their deathbed and only has just a short few moments with him before they go into eternity. The thief on the cross, he repented, called upon the Lord in the very last moments right before his death. He received the same salvation that all the apostles did. He got the same eternal life as all the apostles did. His death came quickly as a consequence of his criminal behavior, right? Their deaths came as a result, for most of them, as a result of serving the Lord. Most of them died as martyrs. He didn't get an opportunity to live a single day for the Lord as a servant of the Lord. And they, most of the apostles, or many of them, got to live for decades for the Lord in service to him. Yet, none of those things had any bearing upon them receiving eternity in heaven. It's all the same, okay? They entered the same kingdom, enjoyed the same heaven. Now, granted, the study of God's word talks about rewards and loss of rewards in heaven, and those the various rewards are given on the basis of faithfulness and diligence and serving the Lord, which is surely fair, okay? But those are in excess of eternal life, okay? Those are beyond salvation. That's something that's a different, that didn't get us to heaven. We all get to heaven through one thing, and that's putting our faith in Jesus Christ. The point of the parable is to illustrate the grace of God and it being given, each one of us being given the same everlasting life as another person who's put their faith in Christ. A simple transaction takes place, whether you do it when you're on your deathbed, which I don't recommend, doing it in the 11th hour because you don't know when the 11th hour comes, okay? But whether you do it in the 11th hour or in the first hour of your life, it's a simple transaction of your sins and my sins being placed upon Jesus Christ and his righteousness being placed upon us, and that gives us entrance, if you will, into heaven. First of all, it gives us entrance into the kingdom of heaven, which is a relationship with God even here on earth, but it results in eternal life in heaven. And so this, all the parables are wonderful, but this is for a long time been my favorite parable for some reason. It's just a wonderful picture of the way it really is, that I am just as saved as anybody else on this planet. I can't be more saved than them, but I can't be less saved than them. We all have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, appreciate you guys so much, and I have no idea what time. Yeah, I do. Right on time, Roy. Thank you. I never even looked up and saw it. So, good deal. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. I hope you guys have a good remainder of the week. Thank God for the rain. And if you get an opportunity, ladies, and you haven't signed up for Mother-Daughter Banquet, please do. Stop by also and get your form and order your T-shirt. Okay? All right, good deal. Brother Aaron, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?